Welcome to Rusak Gamers.
Welcome to the Rusak Gamers podcast, episode 27. Bill couldn't make it tonight, so rather than cancel the game and not have a show for you, we decided to really and truly introduce ourselves. Our RPG resumes, if you will. So ready or not, here are the Rusak Gamers.
So I remember my papa leaning over to me and he says, "What movie did you bring me to?" And I'm going, "I don't know." Because it was all fine up until then.
So you didn't go home and play catch?
No. Yeah. No.
Went home and put on a fluffy robe and bunny slipper. Yeah. made a cup of Earl tea.
Yeah, I need to go take a shower.
I'm just going to be in a fetal position in my room.
I bet that's an interesting story.
Yeah, what's up, Michael?
Oh. Okay. Here's
okay.
Here's a good story.
So my wife's coming.
His wife is coming in.
I get up early, and I let my cats in from where they hang out most days.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
How y'all doing?
Good, all right. So then...
Hey.
Yeah.
We don't?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so tell us what happened to your hand.
So I'm sitting there. I get up real early in the morning, and I, at that point, I let my cats in so they can eat and... you know, play and do whatever. And then before I get ready to go to work, I go and I scoop up one because I'm going to put them back where they stay during the day. And I scoop up the other, which is okay. I've done it a million times. No big deal. But my big mistake was is I leaned over to open the door and now they are no longer 2 feet apart. They are 2 inches apart. And at which point they decide, "I don't like you."
Hilarity ensues.
Yeah. So they do this thing, and now one thing is that they are literally locked together. I cannot separate them. Okay? And one of them scratches me right under my wedding ring. So I've got this scratch that goes right where my wedding ring sits. So I'm bleeding, and then I hear what sounds like water being poured onto floor. And so I'm thinking, what is that? Because I'm thinking, oh my God, one of them has killed the other one. And, got
and it's
blood.
You.
No.
Oh.
So I look down, and there is liquid coming on the floor, but it's coming out of the back end of the cat. Oh. So one of them is now peeing on the floor and not stopping. Okay? So now, not only do I have a puddle on the floor, I am covered from chest
and cat urine.
From chest to urine covered socks. Now, mind you, it is 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm yelling, pissed, and they won't let go of each other. So I finally throw them on because, I mean, I had to just wait until she was done. Okay, and then I toss them on in, but my wedding ring sits right on the.
I didn't notice those earlier. Were you?
Yeah.
Really?
So it's sitting there and it's cut, and every time my wedding ring sits on it, it would open it up. So I just
took your wedding ring off.
Yeah,
that's the reason I use.
That's right. Yeah,
Can't cut my finger.
Now, the fact that I have a tattoo on there, you know, it's got something to do with it. But no, that's what it was for.
So why is the other one taped up?
Because it'll fall off.
Oh, hold it on.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Because I tried to put it on this one, but I had big old fat fingers on this hand, and it won't fit.
So I'm Roy.
Jason.
Todd.
Doug.
Joe.
And Jeff.
And I'm not covered in cat urine right now.
The
night's not over.
Yeah,
that's right. Tonight we, something special, something different. Well, not so special. But definitely different. Bill was not feeling under the weather, so he could not run his Flames of Gold game for us tonight. We discussed several different
possibilities
through email about playing a different game. One being Fiasco,
which we do want to try.
But Roy pointed out that you know most of our listener. That lonely guy in Hoboken.
Taylor's his name.
Taylor.
He left us a nice little comment over on the blog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is he in Hoboken? Hoboken? No.
My brother's in Hoboken.
Is he?
My brother lives in Hoboken.
Oh, well,
and
how about
one
that?
Guy who gave us a review on iTunes.
Who pandas, right?
Mr. Fancy Pants?
Mr. Yeah. Fancy Pants.
No, no, it's Captain.
Captain Fancy, Fancy Pants.
It's not Captain Fancy Pants. It's Captain.
He didn't like us, so we really don't care about getting his name.
No, come on. We appreciate every comment we get. And he did some valid points.
He did.
Hopefully he's gotten better.
It was Captain's.
What? Yeah, what was his comment? I hope you die, and what else?
And he's been talking over each other for
that's
guys.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, but he...
Is that the same one that kept saying, I like Roy.
No, that was a weird voicemail we got. Anyway, but tonight
that was
we were...
a different lunatic.
Roy had pointed out that we hadn't really introduced ourselves, and people may not know who we are, so we thought we would take this particular episode to sort of introduce ourselves and maybe talk about the games we've played, what we like in games, what we don't like, and, you know, what our turn-ons are, turn-offs, favorite color, you know, the Playboy centerfold, you know, get-to-know-us kind of thing.
Todd is a Libra. Yeah.
He likes warm showers.
Especially cat urine.
And
wearing wet socks.
And frappes.
And fall mornings. And tequila sunrises.
So, Jeff?
Yeah.
What is your gaming resume?
My gaming resume.
When did you start?
I am an old man. And I started gaming when I was about 9 or 10. My older brother came in. And he's a few years older than I am, but he had been playing
this. Which one?
James. And he came in, and he had been playing this game, D&D. And he had the Advanced Dungeons & Dragons Player's Handbook.
I'm sorry, I've never heard of this.
Yes, well, first edition. And so I kept bugging him and bugging him, and he wouldn't play with me. And I've got a bunch of brothers, and he went to my mom and said, tell Jeff to quit bugging me. And she said, none of your other brothers want to play with you. Why don't you play with him? He's the only one who wants to play with you.
Now, this and sounds that like the is, same conversation you had the other day.
Yeah, and this is a long, and this began a long gaming relationship with my brother to this day. We probably both regret.
Why did mom just stay out of it?
Thanks, mom. Should have pushed me in a band or football or something. So anyway, we played for a long time, and that's what I played. Played forever up through college, and didn't change. I didn't change systems. Didn't believe in playing other systems. I thought they were all and wrongfully so. All these other systems like GURPS and a lot of the other stuff that came up in my long upbringing that were, I thought they were pretenders to the throne, essentially, and, but eventually in college, I mean, I played a little bit of Traveller, a little bit of Gamma World, what was the one, the TSR Outer Space deal, anybody remember that?
Spelljammer?
No, not Spelljammer. No, it was actually outer space. It was about 1983.
Gamma World was post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, Gamma World was apocalyptic. No, this was, I'm sure our listeners are, somebody's screaming at me right now, or a listener, that guy.
And he's still screaming at you.
Anyway, but, but none of those ever took. I did like Gamma World, though. I ran a few of those when I was younger. But anyway, nothing changed. Love Dark Sun. That was like the pinnacle of my D&D experience, and I don't think I'd ever put that sentence together in my head, pinnacle of D&D experience. And but eventually we went to 3.5, loved that, then got our hearts broken, at least I did. And so I started exploring other games a few years ago, like Savage Worlds, loved that. Loved Burning Wheel and Burning Empires, Mouse Guard. Big fan of those games. It really opened up a lot of...
You tried Burning Wheel at Gen Con?
Mm-hmm.
The first time?
I played Burning Empires first time. I never played Burning Wheel. We went to Burning Empires at Gen Con and Mouse Guard. Had read the books or, you know, gone through them.
So you didn't even do the little, fight scenario or whatever?
I did a demo, I think.
Well, that's what I mean.
I did a fight demo, like the year before. And
was the Burning Empires one you and I did?
I think it was the first time I sat down and played an actual Burning Empires game, and that gave me an ally to help convince the rest of the group we need to try this other system. And recently we tried Fate.
Like Fate
a lot. Joe did a good job running that, and And Pathfinder, I don't think I'll ever run Pathfinder, but I enjoy playing it because Roy does a lot of that, but I'll let him speak to that. I like the games that give it a lot of control. I mean, I'm a big believer that the whole point of sitting around a table and gaming is to make the player is there to feel like his character is cool. I mean, that's like the overarching theme of everything. And if your character feels like his character is a schmuck, or you're not feeling cool, or your character is not living up to the player's expectations, then there's something wrong. So the GM has to sort of facilitate that. And also tell the story. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's all about that, but as far as the players go, it's about having a good time, making players feel like they're having a good time. And that's the one thing I like about Burning Wheel and Burning Empires and stuff, is that you don't create a character, you don't spend a couple hours creating a character, and then have them die, killed by some
trap,
random encounter spider. That one of the guys we gave with, he always griped to me about that, is that he created his character and got killed by a random encounter, which I think is just an ignominious way to go. So, don't believe in random encounters either. You know, if you want to encounter it. Otherwise, leave it out of the game. Move on.
Hey, better than getting your head chopped off by your fellow party member.
Well,
right, Doug?
We're not going to talk gaming. Let's not.
We want the gaming story.
Anyway, so that's kind of where I am. I may chime in again, but somebody else can talk a little bit.
Joe?
Probably the least gaming enthusiast of the group.
We don't like junk.
You'll really get no nerd distance here. Buddy.
No, I'm not trying to have nerd distance. I'm just, you know, being frank, or I'll be Joe. I played some D&D the old way, without grids and miniatures, and basically when every encounter in D&D was, I kick the door in and I fight what's in it. And that was just that, over and over and over again.
Did that too.
You were how old when you started?
I was probably a sophomore in high school.
Well, you're a few years. That's about right. Yeah. You're a few years. I mean, that's about the difference in our ages, so that's what we did too when we started. So.
And that was D&D for me, but I enjoyed that, and I think I enjoyed more than anything the cerebral nature of I could use my imagination and solve puzzles and take things in a direction that even the DM didn't see. So that kind of clicked with me over the years. You know, I tried basically just wandering through something to do or any hobby shop and thinking, wow, look at all these cool games, and I'd pick up a book. And I'd spend 2 weeks reading it and totally into it, and then I wouldn't be able to find anybody that wanted to play it with me. I tried, I don't know if you guys remember Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Never played it. I think
it was a GURP. Was it a GURP made by the...
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Sounds
right.
Yeah, that or Steve Jackson.
Totally fun game.
Steve Jackson.
I think I have that book.
Yeah, it was a really cool game, and me and a buddy, we got into it, and we just took turns running adventures for each other. Solo adventures. I'd run one for him, he'd run for me. And, you know, that was kind of took me back, but it wasn't really what I was looking for. And then when the 3.5 rebooted it in the year 2000, and I don't know what reiteration of D&D that was.
They did 3.0 in 2000, and they did 3.5 in what, 2002,
2003? That was it. So that some of the new books came out, big-time comic book collectors, so naturally there's books around me of role-playing games, so I picked up a couple of those. Sounded totally cool, looked totally cool, thought for once, I'm actually going to learn the rules. I'm not going to just play. I'm going to learn the rules and run it for somebody else. A couple years go by, I couldn't find anybody to play with.
I'm
going home.
Seriously. I just wasn't the type of thing friends did.
Well, if I can interject, I mean, I bought Burning Wheel in 2006, 2008, I bought the books, and I'm in a group, and it was 2-3 years later before we actually got to play it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was years later before we got to actually sit down and run the game.
I've probably learned a dozen different rule systems and played maybe half a dozen.
Let's be honest. I mean, this group, I mean, for years all we did was play D&D, and maybe Chuck played Star Wars, but that was late. I mean, we didn't try anything.
Well, this Wednesday group, which is pretty much all of us here, got together to start playing Savage Worlds and a little Pathfinder.
No, we got together to start the beta testing of Pathfinder.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Pathfinder, they went ahead and they published it and brought it out, and I And I said, well, hey, let's try Savage Worlds while we're together. And it's a quick game. We can play it on Wednesday night. It's short. It's
played that for like 3 years.
Yeah, we played that for a while. And then, you know, we throw things in here and there. But yeah.
So I actually met Jeff with... You were running
a
game.
It was a D&D game day.
Yeah. We were running game day at the comic shop, and I rode up there and played, and we exchanged emails, and it was probably a good 6 months.
Oh, it was a year, year and a half, 2 years. I kept your email, and I was like, hey, this guy, I remember playing this guy, with this guy, and I really liked him, and sent you an email and said, hey, you want to play in a regular game?
So I subbed for a few times, and it was right around that time, I guess, the Wednesday night group kicked off, and it was fun to play Savage Worlds because I kind of felt like... I didn't feel so much like I was the outsider. I felt like I was kind of learning it with you all. So in a way, I didn't feel like the new guy. You know, it was kind of cool for me to play a game that you all were also learning. So yeah, here we are, playing Fate, playing Burning Wheel, Mouse Guard, all the stuff that we love. I mean, I did play some 4E for a while. And now that we've played some of the story-based stuff, it's hard for me to look at anything else. I've kind of been ruined on D20 and grid-based combat. And as much as I like 4E, and I really like 4E because I had a good command of the rules and it made sense to me. So I guess there's a little soft spot in my heart for 4E, even though I don't want to run it or play it now.
Yeah, I mean,
it's hard for me to go backwards. Now.
I knew 3.5 backwards and forwards, and I mean, because it was the system's so tight and the rules are so tight,
right?
And if you have a question about the rules, it's not like second edition or first edition where you go through and it's an interpretation. You can go to the rules and say, "Look, this is how they handle this," and you can basically you can research the rule and go, "This is the outcome," and it's very consistent. And I thought 3.5 would always, I mean, it would be great. Wow. I'll always remember 3.5 in my heart.
So what you're saying is that based upon the rule system of 3.5, there should never be an argument about the rules in 3.5.
Not if I can give you the interpretation. Just take my interpretation and understand it and say that's right.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah. So, but no, I agree with what Joe. But then again, I'm not a big fan of the hit points, and you know, I think 3.5 and D&D. I think it breaks down when you get too many people, and it slows down, and it gets boring. You know, because the focus gets spread around the table, so it's takes too long.
And there's a lack of control in D20 grid-based combat. You matter as much as the DM kind of throws at you.
Yep.
You can't really step up and change much. You can maybe come up with a creative way to solve a puzzle or get around an obstacle, but you can't really change the overall story arc that the DM is working from. And to me, that's kind of confining.
Yeah. And everything player-wise, most of that stuff's fluff. I mean, it's all fluff and has no game.
Right.
No play in the game. So, I agree with you.
Okay. Doug?
I started playing in second year in college. I met a guy. We had all the same classes together. He was always telling me about playing D&D. He was always telling me these stories about this magic user he played and how cool he was. And he droned on and on and on about it. And he was always trying to get me to play. And finally I said, all right, fine, I'll come and play and see what you're talking about.
Is that Chuck?
No.
Okay.
And so we started playing second edition D&D. And there were probably 4 or 5 of us. We used to play in his dorm room. Really weird group of people. Like, there was this husband and wife who'd come and play with us. They weren't in college. They were just friends of this guy. And he would always play a woman, and she would always play a man.
This sounds like a letter to Penthouse.
Kind of went a lot like that.
It's weird.
This never happens to me.
Yeah, but
I was playing D&D last Saturday, and
I was cleaning out the stove. And we played together for a long time, and then the group started breaking up, and we were looking for new people, and through another mutual friend of all of ours, I got introduced to Jeff, and I got Jeff into our second edition game, and we played for...
Well, you didn't get me into that.
Yeah.
No, Chuck got me into it. Chuck brought me in.
Was Chuck playing in that game?
That's how I met you. I never knew you before Chuck brought me into that game.
Was he playing in that game?
Yeah. Because Chuck, well, sorry to interrupt your steal your thunder here, but we were, Chuck and I, we were in a...
I know Chuck introduced us, but I didn't think Chuck was playing in that game.
Yeah, Chuck was, we were, actually, I was talking to Chuck, and Chuck, we were playing music, we were playing in a church band or something in college, and he says, hey, I got to go somewhere, and I said, where are you going? He says, well, I don't really want to tell you, and I'm like, why not? And he says, I don't know, because it's kind of nerdy or something, you know, and it's just sort of this, I'm a gamer. And he finally says, well, I'm going to play D&D, and I went, holy crap, my brother's away at college, I never get to play, I'd love to play, what are you playing? And he's like, well, I got this, and we don't have a cleric. I was like, I would play a cleric in your game! So I played my first halfling cleric in that game.
Lucky?
Yeah, I wasn't lucky, but he was the first, I think, halfling. He may have been one of the first halflings that I played that started that whole theme. But I'm known for playing halflings. But anyway, he brought me to that game.
Right. So the three of us and a couple other people played in the game until the DM went off the deep end. The game just started. I mean, it's a fantasy game, but it stopped making sense altogether. And it really became about him reliving the glory of his old mage. And at that point, we revolted and walked away from the table. And
never to return.
Never to return.
And we formed our own band.
And at that point, then Jeff and Chuck and I and James and a
My
couple
brother.
Other guys all got together and started playing D&D 2nd edition in Chuck's basement.
Yeah.
And that's how I got in the group. That was probably
15 years.
Well, that wasn't. And
that was probably 2000. That was probably 1990, 1991.
Yeah, and it wasn't even really a regular game at that point. We played for a little while. Mm-hmm. We played a little bit, and then I think it fell apart. And then like 1994, 1995, because it was after I got married. You know, we all got together and said, "Hey, we've got all these books. Let's just set aside a regular time and everybody come and play." And that's when the regular, like, Sunday night game started.
Really started.
And we were playing that Sunday night game since then. So 17, 18 years, that Sunday night game's been going on. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah, that's approaching 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Which is huge, but...
16 years now, yeah.
Yeah.
If y'all started in 95, then 16 years.
Yeah, because I think I was already married at the time, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all got married in 95.
It was we. Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry, the pointing didn't come across on the podcast.
So anyway,
Doug, Jeff, and I.
So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah. So we picked up the Sunny game. We played at Jeff's house in his attic. It was like a billion degrees up there in the summertime.
In the flight path of the airport.
Yeah.
Planes would come over. I remember Doug. You looked at me and go, "Should we duck?
Do I need to hold on?"
Those planes are loud.
And then we moved to 3.0, and then we moved to 3.5, and then we started this Wednesday night thing. And everybody else still plays on Sundays.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Todd?
I probably started playing when I was in junior high school. It was a bunch of the guys that I played soccer with started playing.
Try speaking into the microphone.
I stand...
Okay. No, I probably started playing when I was in junior high school, played the old D&D, and then went to, what is it, AD&D, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. Played that all the way up until I graduated from high school, and then I moved. I was living in Alabama at the time and moved up here, and I didn't play again until I met Jeff working at the bookstore.
At U of L.
At U of L.
And so, wait, you said you started out playing first edition D&D?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And... Then we played, and we played, I mean...
It was Dark Sun, I think, primarily.
Well, no, it was Dark Sun, and then we played some of James' games, and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we either played...
Well, I bought Dark Sun while I was working there, because I actually ordered it through.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember
there was
that.
None of this Amazon...
Yeah.
Well, if you ever done stuff, yeah. You kids, you lucky bastards, you send away to... You just bought it online with a one click.
Back before the internet.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Way
intertubes.
Yeah. Intertubes. So, I have lots of fond memories of that Dark Sun game, by the way.
Yeah.
I do too, man.
Water Cleric was one of the favorite characters I ever played.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I tried to restart it again, but...
No, I remember having this little halfling that I loved to death. What?
it's Todd's fault that that second Dark Sun game fell apart.
Well, I'm not talking about the second Dark Sun game. I'm talking about the first Dark Sun game. Anyway, I had this wonderful little halfling, and I remember I had to leave for some reason. I said, here, go ahead and play my character. And all of a sudden, Jeff calls me later and says, you're dead. I said, what do you mean I'm dead?
Called her in the darkness. Called you off the ship. You fell into the silt. Yeah. Get over it.
So we played for years and years and years. And for a long time, I didn't play. I was out of the game.
That broken up over me killing your halfling.
Yeah.
Didn't play.
I was out of the game for... what, 5, 6, 7 years, something like that, and then coming around the corner at Gen Con, there he was, just sitting there.
And being me, being Jeff.
Yeah. And then that's when I met Roy. I saw Doug and Chuck there. James was there.
Was that, what, 2006?
No, it was 2007.
Seven?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I ran into Jeff after you guys hooked up, and Jeff's like,
now what, whoa.
Hello.
Don't you hooked up. Okay.
Ran into each
other. Yeah, there you go.
Don't deny what happened.
Okay.
So I ran into Jeff, and Jeff's like, do you remember those stories he told about the Dark Sun girl?
Wait, that's not what happened.
Todd's here!
No, that's not what happened. I said, hey, this is Todd. Todd, this is Roy. And then we all went out. We went to the collab up, and we're hanging out, and we're telling game stories. Uh-huh. And, Roy goes, and he's telling the story about Todd's character and how he got killed by a rock and all this stuff. And it's just... I don't want to tell the war story again, but... And Roy looks at Todd and goes, that was you?!
That's pretty much it.
I've heard that story 100 times.
Yeah. I've heard that... Yeah, so...
I feel like I was there.
Yeah. So, no, I got back in the group then. And it, been with it ever since. But I tell you, of all the ones, I really enjoyed Second Edition. I like third quite a bit, and
love third edition.
Yeah, or 3.5, as you should say. But that being said, it's something that Jeff and I have talked about quite a bit. Is that D&D is a game where the DM, GM, whatever you want to call them, is the one who tells you what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what you see. This is, you go around the corner and this is what's there.
This is what you can do.
This is what you can do, right. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the newer systems that we're looking, because even Savage World does that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is what you see. This is where you are. This is what you can do. Whereas, in at least the way that I run it, and the way that I've been used to it and watching how other people do it, is you create the world. You kind of, is as long as we all... figuratively speaking, hold our hands together and walk through it at the same time, we all create the world. And, you know, what do you want to see? Well, let's see if you do see it. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Burning Wheel
and Burning Empires to a point as well.
And you didn't get to play Fate with us at time.
No. But, I mean, Jeff and I are the ones who went, when Lou Crane ran the Burning Empire in 2010 at Gen Con. And I remember I went in there dead to the world because I was half hungover still from the night before. And I thought I was going to die. And then he spends, 45 minutes to an hour explaining the rules?
Just introducing the world and the game and where we are and stuff.
Setting up and everything. And I'm thinking, dear God, I'm going to die if this keeps going on.
Right. And this is like where I was like, Todd, you got to come play this game. You got to come try it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to come try it. And he's like, all right, fine, I'll come try it. Mm-hmm. Did I pick your schedule?
Because we picked the exact same thing. I said, I don't care, you pick it, let's go.
Well, it sort of becomes sort of a theme every Gen Con now, is Todd's like, just whatever you pick, Jeff, get me a ticket.
Right.
And so now Todd and I, we're pretty much in almost every game together, which is a little weird.
A little.
And, you know, strangely enough, you do that, but Roy and I wind up hooking up.
It's either that or me and Neil.
Basically, you don't like Gladiator movies.
That's right. Roy's the one with the podcast.
That's right.
He's the one with the pod.
That's right.
I do all the work, and Roy gets all the glory.
But it's such a good pickup line.
But it was
like
so
come
funny
my podcast,
because I remember we took a break. We took a break, and in that game, and I was talking to Luke Crane, and I said to Luke, you know, he's like, I was like, man, just give this guy a shot. He's going to be great. And Luke's like, I don't know, man. I don't know. He's really
dead.
Yeah, he's sort of. I'm a little worried about him. And then, man, that game just
it
came
picked up
alive. And we were hearing stories about our game from It's like, oh, that was your game from you know, people that work with Luke and stuff. And it was it was a great experience.
But my the problem I've always had with any of these systems is that we get all excited about whatever it is that we're excited about at the moment, whether that's a D&D thing. The thing that bothers me is that I don't want to sit there and all of a sudden be excited about whatever system it is that we want to run, shell out, you know, $200-$300, whatever it is that it takes to get all the source material, and then we never play it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm all about playing something.
Or play it once.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt here, but I just got an email. Steve Jobs just died.
Whoa. Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Sad.
Well, anyway, sell out the stock show out tomorrow.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, that happened on our podcast.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that, Steve Jobs. So that came from one of the other guys we came with, Eric. So he just sent a text. That's too bad. Okay. Not a big Apple guy, but you got to give your props to Steve Jobs.
Can't feel bad. I was making fun of the company earlier.
Hmm. Okay. Sorry to interrupt. What? Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Well, no. I mean, that's the only thing is that I've enjoyed Burning Wheel, Burning Empires. I love the Burning Empires world. I'm still a little hinky on the mechanics of it sometimes.
We're all hinky on the mechanics of it.
But that being said, we had this discussion today is that
Todd and I had lunch here.
Yeah, the benefit of this is of Burning Empires mechanics is that it kind of forces you to do something.
Yeah.
So whereas Burning Wheel, you can still play a passive role and be involved, but Burning Empires, you have to take an active role because you have scenes and you have, you know, that's the whole part of them is that you got to do them.
The scene management.
Yeah.
Really weird.
Now, that's, it kind of takes away from maybe some of the flow of the game when you have to sit there and go, okay, well, who's next? Some nights it was real easy. Who's next? I've got something. Other nights it was
me.
You know, Roy pulling teeth.
Roy, something.
You know that was it. You know,
we'll get to me in a minute.
What about this, Roy? What about that, Roy? Okay, you can do this, Roy. I remember going up to.
Origins.
Yeah,
and we had a long conversation with Roy about, hey, have you thought about this? Yeah. Have you thought about this? And for like a half an hour, Roy's like, yeah, that's a good idea. We're talking about how his character in his crime lord could start selling the Claudium to the Kern and to the Valen and getting them hooked. In making money off of them, but also setting it up to crush either side.
Yeah.
You know, not I don't know so much about the Kern, but selling to the Vale and selling to everybody. Yeah. And we had this whole, oh man, we were all excited. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. Next game, what are you going to do, Roy? I don't know.
Crickets. Crickets is all we heard. And it was like,
okay. Tal do something cool.
In Roy's defense, though. I mean, Roy did like playing a second character better than he did the original.
Yeah.
He liked going around with a gunslinger and somebody that had an attitude.
Yeah, the henchman,
Ooh, I'm sneaky. I'm good. Watch this.
I'm
rubbing my own boss.
I'm so glad I took all those podcasts down here.
I want to copy those, by the way. It was to get back to Todd, it was funny because today, driving in this morning, I was just, you know, a long drive, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking, you know what? I miss Harbinger's Rock. Not the game. It was really weird because it wasn't the game necessarily. But I miss it. But I miss the world. It was like I had been on a trip somewhere and come back and said, you know, I'd like to go back there.
Well, that world's
ours. Back and visit. I know. We made the world.
That's the nice thing about Burning Empire is the group generation of not just the world.
But it was
but
weird.
The
it was just
thing.
The visceral feeling I had. Missing this fictional world we made up.
Well, Roy's right. I mean, that's our child. We all created that thing. Whether it's, you know, we came up with the name, we came up with what was in it, and it, each of us contributed. I mean, every single one of us contributed something to it.
Yeah.
You know, between Admiral Akbar on the ground here and everybody else.
Come on, Vox Jenkins is a cool character.
We love Vox.
I love Vox.
I never would have ever dreamed that I would be behind a Vox Jenkins type character.
Oh, it was so.
He wasn't a badass. You know, he wasn't cool or hip, or he didn't waste a bunch of people. He was just Vox.
Well, and it's so funny because, and we would all, you start doing Vox. And we all sit there just
grinning from ear to ear.
Grinning, going to hysterics, and you're like, what? I'm not going to do this anymore. You better stop punch. So, no, we love this.
Don't stop.
Yeah.
We love Vox.
We love Vox.
Doug brought in.
He's like our sticker frog.
Yeah.
Be honest. We played it for what? 3 months? 4 months? Yeah. Something like that? And the largest amount of violence was Doug shoving somebody out the airlock.
Yeah, and I totally regret that.
Well, if I had to do that scene all over again, uh-huh. I'd have marched into the auditorium, turned on all the cameras, and broadcast it through the entire space station so everybody would see what happens when you're somewhere.
Well, see, that's the point, is that I never would have thought I would have gone through a game, any game, for 3 or 4 months where there wasn't a sword drawn, a shot fired.
Wouldn't have been the same way.
Yeah. And we all
and we
I
had mean, a great
I enjoyed
time.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's, you know,
well, it's character mechanics are so totally
different. Oh, I know. And you sat there and you thought of 1,000 different things that went on. And I remember at the end of that gaming sessions, all of the gaming sessions together, you guys sitting there going, well, he's probably doing this, and this is what's happening, and I'm thinking, that's not even close to what is going on in my head.
Ooh, but that's a good idea.
And I'm sitting there thinking, y'all go that direction, because this is what they're doing, you know? I'm sitting there thinking, man, y'all are reading way too much into this, you know? But I thought, that's great, wonderful, go with it, you know, it's fine. But, you know, it's what I've said 1,000 times before is that it's so fluid because...
And you can't prepare.
No, you can't. Because I would just sit there and go, okay, this is what I would like to do. And then Joe has a scene at the very beginning and I'm going, well, that's all shot to hell. Let me go, you know. All right, he's made 2 rolls and that, you know, kills everything that I was going to do tonight. So, all right, let's see what happens next.
So now we got Story Game Wednesday and D20 Sunday.
Yeah. But it's like I said to Jeff, and I've said it before, you know, there comes a time when I want to roll dice.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And
I got to kill something.
Yeah. and the only thing that I... is that, whether it's Pathfinder or D&D, is that, you know, with as many people as we have right now, it does get slow.
It does get slow.
So, I mean, we're talking one battle and it takes 3 hours.
Yeah.
Well, that's the neat thing about Burning Wheel that surprised me, which is counterintuitive, is that there's so much going on that even though we've got as many people playing as we do, I think Burning Wheel could handle 8 people easier than D&D could.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody gets to play. You know, if you got a duel of wits or you got a fight going on, you can help, you can jump in, mm-hmm. and you can make arguments, and you're there, and you're active. You're mentally active. It's not like, well, I'm going to aid you in your attack. I make my 10 on my DC. Here, you get +2 now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go get a beer. No, in Burning Wheel, you go, all right, this is my argument, and here's what I'm going to say, and here's my die. You know, let's see if it helps, all right? And it goes around the table, and people jump in and against each other and stuff. And it's...
And you can swap sides.
And swap sides.
It doesn't matter.
And it's just... Yeah. And it keeps you involved in the game, whether or not you're actually always rolling the dice, where you're the focus of the scene. You're still in the scene.
Right.
And you're still helping, and you're still there in a meaningful way.
But, I mean, if it's up to me, I'd play Burning Wheel forever. Well, at least for a while. Burning Wheel, Burning Empires. Because I still kind of see them as the same. But I do want to try other things. I'd like to, you know, give some of these other systems a shot. Especially some of the smaller press systems.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think as successful as Burning Wheel and Burning Empires is, I mean, it's a small press.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's me. I'll shut up now.
Jason. Let's see, I started in the late 80s.
My baby brother.
That's right. My mama made my older brothers play with me, and that's how I got started. As you notice, Jeff never mentioned me. I was the one that was always overlooked. No, I played with Jeff in advanced, and then I went to second ed, and Didn't really get into the third edition until probably in college. But
after I gave you all my books.
Hand-me-downs.
All the second I gave you all my second edition books and my dragons. I'm wishing I had those back.
Yeah, they got what you call it on disc.
Yeah, they do.
It's easier to store. But let's see. Out of the D&D games, my favorite was probably Spelljammer because I like the three-dimensional tactics with it. You can always have your opponent go first, and which kind of is very similar to the Burning Wheel, getting somebody else to talk first, unless it's Jeff.
It's always Jeff.
It's always Jeff to go first. But no, I did that. I do have another group that I hang out with and play D&D with. They did little Star Wars. They did GURPS. Little Bubba Gum. I don't know if y'all ever played that one.
Now you've got, in your Sunday night game, you've got a Sunday night game or Sunday game,
Sunday game.
Is different from our Sunday game,
right?
And you've got, and that's the only reason why you're not in our Sunday night games, because you've got your own group that you've been playing with.
You guys that I came with, grew up with in high school and college, both.
How long have y'all been playing?
I don't know, since probably, let's see.
You ever think about it?
No.
Well, high school, and now you're in your mid-thirties, so almost 20 years. Yeah, right?
That's scary. Thanks.
You're old.
No, well, the difference between like Wednesday night and Sunday night is the group makes a difference in whatever game you're playing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Wednesday night's a little smoother. Everybody kind of doesn't really harass you, but Sundays can get a little vicious. Like Jeff says, the interpretation makes a difference. And that's where it gets it. But that's pretty much me.
I think that a lot of that's the difference between playing D&D, though, and some of these other systems. Because in D&D, it's all about my character getting something. My character getting the gold, my character getting the treasure, my character getting whatever. And you're not screwing me over with the rules. And in these games, it's all more collective, where there's no property, there's no...
Unless you have
and you're encouraged to screw your character over in these games.
Yeah, you're encouraged to,
Well, or at least not discouraged.
Yeah, well, you're encouraged to put your character in conflict,
right?
In awkward situations, and now you have to make the story more interesting.
And that doesn't necessarily mean a physical conflict. That means any kind of conflict.
Right.
Well, I think back to that conversation is it's all about the story. Mm-hmm. Like in Burning Wheel, you're wanting the story to keep moving. So if you get messed over by somebody who all of a sudden wants to go protect some town idiot instead of the kid he's been raising for 15 years. You just have to turn around. You have to turn around and help him out. But that's the story changing. Unlike that, he would probably just said, "I'll slit his throat just to get him out of the way" in a D&D campaign. But
sorry, my dog is barking, and it'll be my feet.
Wow, that's it. That's your whole career.
That's my whole career. You know, I can sum it up in just a little bit. You know,
and it's so weird because I mean, your career is longer than mine. But I had hopes that Joe might be the young one in the group, but apparently...
The newbie.
Apparently I'm still the newbie. The actual newbie, because I'm a frustrated gamer. I started getting the game books in the early 80s. Because I had some friends who had some of the stuff, but no one ever actually played. I mean, they had the game books, but no one ever played. I mean, I remember borrowing from a buddy of mine the Deities and Demigods book, and just reading it, just because it was a lot of fun.
Hand-drawn naked
dudes. The good one! The one with the... The Elric stuff and the Cthulhu stuff.
The
really
good. And Cthulhu stuff. Yeah. That
was cool. But I never got to play until... Meldabone. Meldabone, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yes.
But I never got to play. I was huge in the Dragonlance stuff. I mean, I have a ton of these books at home, but I never got to play until Jeff and Doug's and I's mutual friend Chuck said, you know, "Hey, we got a game on Sunday night. Why don't you show up?" And I wasn't going to. I was very polite. I was like, "Yeah, that sounds great, Chuck. I'll do it. Maybe." And then
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know you tried to bag a hawk. I was like, "Oh, you dumb bastard."
So close. So close.
So much money later.
Chew off your leg, buddy.
Christmas of 2000, my wife got me the Player's Handbook for Christmas.
3-0.
And, 3-0.
That is a heck of a wife right there.
And, my wife's the best. And,
what's she trying to say, really?
Get out! So, I called up Chuck during the holidays and
set up, you know, when the game was going to, you know, be at a point where I got to come in. I think Jeff was
running. It's interesting because it's really funny because Chuck had just come back into the game then.
Yeah.
Because we had had a big row talking about problems in the game and stuff. We had a big row in second edition. We took third edition as a new, as like a chance to
sort of bygones or bygones.
Bygones yeah. Bygones and close up some wounds and bring everybody back in and start playing again. And he brought you in. Was it after Christmas?
Yeah, it was after. I think it was after Christmas. Because, I mean, I got the book at Christmas. Mm-hmm. I didn't start playing until after I got the book and I read through it. So I think, I can't remember if Chuck was actually running that game or.
No, it was James.
Was James running
it? Was
the
game? James. Well, no.
No, you
it
were
was
running.
Third edition. It was mine because you came in and played G.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Because I came in and Jeff didn't want me to play G right away.
Well, G was like
there was a point that he wanted G to come in, getting back to the DM bringing the story. Is there was a point where you wanted my character who is a Warforged before there was Warforged. And
it was out of Dragon. It was some kind of construct creature and Dragon when they were tinkering with the construct rules and the new 3.5. Which is another thing I like about 3.0 and 3.5 is that, you know, you could really create this stuff with a template and say this is how we're going to go. So,
so Jeff brought me. You know, we got into the game and Jeff was like, "Here, play this guy until, you know, until we get to this point." And it was a gnome, Glitter,
who was Sparkle's brother.
Sparkle. Glitter came later when Sparkles died the first night, and everyone was mad at Jeff because
he got eaten by a shark.
He got eaten by a shark. He's like, dude, you killed his first character
on the first day. Night? Yeah,
it's like, oh my god!
But in my defense, he knew it was going to happen.
I mean, I knew it was going to happen. That was fine with Sparkles getting eaten, because then I could play Glitter for a while the same way. I'm just goofy until I got to bring in the Warforged. But that was the first time I ever had to play.
Yeah,
and like I said earlier, I was a frustrated gamer before then. I never had to play, and the next thing I know, it's 2003, and I'm at Gen Con because I couldn't convince anyone else to show up with me.
So I didn't know. You don't look at me when you Todd, say that.
That's true.
Todd would have gone, but he would have played Magic the whole time.
Hey.
So I go to Gen Con, and everyone's like, nah, I don't want to go. And I come back with all this free crap. And next thing I know, we're up there for 2 days next year.
Well, no, we went up. Wait a minute. And we spent the night at Doug's aunt's house.
Aunt's house.
And lovely. And she was great. And she was very nice. And it was all wonderful. But not exactly what I wanted for my Gen Con experience.
Holly Hobby wasn't what you said.
To be in some 13-year-old girl's bedroom.
Without the girl or with the girl?
No, wow, that podcast went somewhere weird, didn't it?
No, she was no longer living there. She had gone.
It was a shrine. It was a shrine to a 13-year-old.
And a little rod on bed was just weird, weird evening. And you know, we're making nice with the aunt and being very polite. And I'm thinking, you know, I would just love to have a beer right now and sit out and just talk about the day. And So the next year we went and we were at. We didn't do
way anything. Out. I mean, we stayed out at the hotel way far away.
Learn from our experience, kids.
Stay as close as you can.
This is how you learn how to do Gen Con.
Don't be cheap on the hotel room.
That's right. Get one right next to the convention center so because you can walk to everything.
Jeff and I stayed out. We went up early before everyone else, right?
I think we got
Doug showed up later.
But we were 20 minutes out of the city.
Yeah, we were 20 minutes outside of the city. And, I mean, that morning when we left to go to the convention, we packed the car up with lunch and beer. Because at lunchtime, we sat in the car
and got a couple of beers.
And drank beer and had sandwiches and talked.
Was that because we blew our food budget on sushi?
The first night, it was like, oh, yeah, hey, there's a sushi place. We spent how much?
Yeah, I was like, there's the bill.
Reading sandwiches and drinking Milwaukee's Light the whole rest of the time. But, no, I mean, that first time was, I went up and I sat in the seminars and I'm like, you know, Bob Salvatore is telling these great stories. And he keeps telling the great stories. It's the same ones every year. And the funny thing is you don't care.
Yeah,
they're just so funny.
And they're good stories.
They're really good stories.
Wubba wubba.
Wubba wubba. And,
Google it, kids.
Wubba wubba. I mean, for a long time at Gen Con, we had the long-running Munchkin tournament.
This was this the first year or was last year?
Last year was the first year we didn't do it.
2011 was not the year to play.
We did not I didn't take any.
But 2010, we did.
Yeah, we played did. 3 years running. We did a Munchkin tournament three years in a row, and it just got to be ugly. So
it got real ugly the last
doing
year.
It. Yeah, we had a Munchkin bobblehead that we gave out, you know, to the winner, and it was very competitive, and people would drink, and present company included, and would get very ugly, present company included. And it just got to be a very ugly event.
Well,
we stopped doing it.
It's one thing when four or five people play Munchkin and you can backstab and do all the things that you do and kind of sit there and point fingers. But the 1 year that we played at the right outside of True Dungeon at that big round table,
there was
12 of us or something crazy like that.
A couple other guys got invited.
Yeah.
Well, a couple, they weren't strangers. There were a couple people that.
James invited
a couple people, you know, and it was one of these things where not everyone said they were going to show up, and so James was like, well, I'll invite a couple people, we'll make sure we have a full table.
We walked into the room, and there were four people playing in there, and we couldn't get the table, so James said, hey, you want to play with us, and that's how we got the table.
Yeah.
There were four people in there we didn't know.
And it got to be, make your play, play your card, drink a bottle of beer, play your card, drink a bottle of beer, you know, and it got really, I mean, it got ugly. Last year we played, though, with Eric, you know, I do believe
that. That was
actually a pretty good game. That was a lot of fun.
That was the year, but that James was the year poor Hobie won.
And James got really, in, but there. James still got mad because we wouldn't let him use his coin. He wouldn't tell us what it did. He just sat there with his finger on it. We're like, what's the coin, James? He's like, oh, you'll find out. We're like, no, what are the rules for the coin, James? And he didn't have them. We wouldn't let him play it. And he got mad. We got mad. Everybody got mad. And it's so we don't play Munchkin anymore. That's the point.
We still love Steve Jackson games.
It's a fun game. Just don't play it. The people you care about.
So, you know, I'm the one that went to Gen Con, got us going to Gen Con. We started with 3-5. That's when I actually started really trying to run a game. It was during 3-5 in the switchover.
Dragonlance?
Eventually started Dragonlance.
Well, Dragonlance wasn't your first game?
No, the first game we had. Remember,
Ghostwalk. Oh, my. I can't believe I forgot that.
Sean Reynolds. How could you forget it? My personal Facebook buddy, Sean Reynolds.
Yeah, you have a...
I got a restraining order.
Yeah, you got a restraining order. Stay away from it.
So we did that. I ran Dragonlance. I ran the entire Dragonlance adventure path that they have. Not the one going back to the books, but the one that Margot Weiss Productions Games put out. I really enjoyed that. I had a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
That was a long game. That was about 4 years worth of games, I think.
Yeah. And a good ending, too.
Eric got eaten by a dragon. That wasn't a dragon. That was great.
Play one of my favorite characters of all time.
Mm-hmm.
The druid.
Another halfling?
No, he was actually an elven druid.
Elven druid? Wild elf druid?
Okay, let me ask you. Lord knows some of us have played 20, 25, 30 years. What's been, I guess, the favorite campaign?
Ooh.
Now, I mean, I know that maybe there's some TSR created or even other companies created, or even your own. What's some of the favorite ones you've had? I shouldn't say favorite ones. The favorite one.
My favorite one that I ever ran or played in. My favorite that I ever ran was Dragonlance. I had a lot of fun running Dragonlance.
The
adventure path that I ran.
Oh, okay.
And the thing is, though, is that I ran Dragonlance because no one else would run it, so I had to do it. So I didn't actually ever get to play. But that's fine.
And we were all clamoring for you to run Dragonlance.
No, you weren't. I said I was going to run it, and no one else wanted to run a game. So, and that was pretty much how it went. And that was fine. I was fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had that philosophy that everybody should just sort of pick something, make it their niche, and just run with it.
Right.
You know, like Dragonlance for you, and Dark Sun, or Deadlands, or whatever for me. And, you know, just pick something you really like, and then run it. Make it your own and run it.
Well, was there a specific module, or do you just like the whole Dark Sun?
My favorite setting, I mean, as far as 3-5 concerned, my favorite setting was Dark Sun. Just loved it. Loved it.
Even though it wasn't an official setting. It was only with...
Well, no, the second edition. I always loved the setting. It got a little weird. And near the end, like the last sea, they came up with that supplement. where the Mind Lords of Last Sea, and that was a little weird, like surfers and stuff. It was a little, that got a little bizarre. But it was still okay. It was still okay. I mean, I like Darkson. I like the history of the world. I like the genetic. You remember your character had the wings, right?
Wings. Mm-hmm.
Had the, instead of magic items, they had these genetic attachments, like creatures that they
enhancements
that you put on you, and you would have this sort of magic item that allowed you to do certain things. Like he had wings that would open up, and he could fly. Doug, that is. And I always thought that was neat. And the world had been a water world, and it was, you know, had messages of, you know, conservation and all that crap. I loved all that. As far as my favorite campaign, as a DM, I really enjoyed Deadlands campaign that we ran.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I don't know. I mean, every game that I run, generally, when it's, you know, I love the Witherscape game. I thought that was a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know if I love the Witherscape game as much as I like the Deadlands game in of itself. I just like the system more, but I think the Deadlands game was probably my favorite. I mean, we ran it, and every night, everybody was...
In that, Joe, were you the only one that had the character that actually lived the whole time?
Well,
until the end?
Shady Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joe started with a generic that he played.
Yeah.
The first time, he was like, hey, let's just try this, and Joe started with him, and just took him and made him his own. And did you survive the whole time? You survived Doug the whole time too.
No, I got killed in the last fight, but then the flood came and killed me.
What did you start with?
I started with
a picture on my phone of Shady Joe dying.
Started off with the Indian, and I got killed, and I brought in the
you're the undead Indian for a while.
Well, no, and I brought in the inventor guy.
Oh, that's right.
Right,
game story.
Neil's game died too, or Neil's character died too. And
several
brought
times.
In brothers that were Asian.
Bumbada.
That's what I love. Bumbada. He was great.
And then after the inventor guy died, then the Jeff let me bring back in the Indian as undead.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I just played the two characters.
Interesting thing in that campaign is that that's when I actually got into the Wednesday night game, and Jeff said, come on in, and, you know, we're about to wind this up. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? And he says, well, you know, play the NPCs. And I said, well, you know, let me play the bad guys. So I started playing the bad guys.
And I let him.
And I played him. I played him as a bad guy
to
who
win.
Really, really wants to live and win. So
you play him like you're playing. You're like your magic cards. You're like, okay. I could see Todd. You know, he's in there stroking his goatee, and he's going, "All right, what have we got here? We got what can I have them? What are they armed with?" And I said, "I don't know. What do you want?" He said, "I want shotguns. They all have shotguns." And I went, "Okay." In the Savage Worlds, if you know anything about the rules, shotguns are incredible. So. Incredibly dangerous. And so we started playing, and it was like a 2-3 part fight at the end of this game, the climax of this game, where Todd comes in and he goes, okay, all the bad guys appear, they're manifestations of the one big bad guy. And Todd says, okay, there's like 13 of them. And they go, all right, this guy. These guys go after him. And they swarm him. They all open up with shotguns. And they're like, what? All right, now he's dead. Now this guy. They all go at him, and they open up with shotguns. And so that game lasted...
Three sessions.
It was like three sessions. And it was like the second longest Savage Worlds game, which is pretty long. Really long for Savage Worlds. The only other longer one was the one with the big automaton.
The funniest thing was the very first time Todd came out to play. Todd goes, you can overhear him talking with Jeff about something, and then they come back to the table, and then all of a sudden he goes, I attack Joe. What the hell? That's all Joe said the whole night. This is cool. I can't believe it. Joe was so frustrated that night. He was throwing his character, his dice. It was funny.
So just kill Savage. Just
kill Joe.
Just kill Shady Joe, man. I don't care. Just kill him. I don't care. I've only had this character for 3 years. I mean, what? Just kill him. I don't care.
So the following week, all right, Joe, I think, survived that night, but he's already got a spot on his shelf where he's like, well, I had Shady Joe sitting up on my bookshelf already ready to play me, put up for dead.
It was funny.
Todd
like,
just made him cry that night. And then the next night, Todd come out to play. And he got another target.
He went after somebody else.
I went after Roy.
Yeah, and that happened to Roy.
So on and so on. It was so funny because Todd came back and they're like, oh, Todd's playing? And I'm like, hey,
give him his own character for God's sake. You know, when you're sitting there playing and the DM actually rolls, hits you once, miss you a couple of times, and then Todd comes out and plays, bam! I gotta re-roll this one too. Bam! Look! It just keeps going!
Oh, look,
it
explode! The six-sided's racing. Look! Ah, damage!
Where'd Roy go? I don't know.
What about you, Joe? Any of those that you played?
I really like the Savage Worlds. It's probably my favorite, you know, as far as the D20 stuff. As far as the story stuff goes, I think my favorite rule system is, because I'm so engulfed in it, is the Strands of Fate. But,
and that's what you ran us through.
We did a one shot.
When I did the podcast, I mislabeled it Spirits.
Right.
Spirit of the Century.
Well, they're all based on the same system, the Fate system. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Compels and stuff like that, which is, I think we didn't have a handle on that night.
Right. Compelling you actually give up a Fate point
right.
to use.
Well, when you compel somebody else, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. You and if I'm compelling you, then you basically get the fate point from me.
Right. Right. Right.
And
yeah.
I think we were doing that. We were actually we just collected. Spending them, but we didn't trade them back and forth.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we ever collected when somebody compelled.
Right. I mean, other than that, we nailed it pretty good, from what I can tell, and I think that's a cool system. It's Burning Wheel-esque without the crunch, and the. Golly, studying.
It was almost like the story game aspects of Burning Wheel with
the ease of Savage.
With the ease of with the more of the.
And you get to roll. You get to roll dice against each other.
Yeah.
The cool thing about that is the DM actually gets to roll dice and play.
Right.
You're actually playing. You're not just playing NPCs where you're kind of fudging a little bit. You're actually playing with the characters. That I kind of like that.
Doug, favorite game?
I like different games for different reasons. I mean, I really like the D20 Star Wars game.
We're having a lot of fun in that.
Yeah, I really like
that. Be run by Chug. Props to Chug.
I'm going dark side.
If I could run any game I want, I really want to run D20 Modern.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I run a couple of those.
No, they're D20 Modern.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a fun system, but it's...
It's D20. It's the only thing.
I don't even know if I have my D20 books anymore. I think I sold them, but...
Yeah.
You got a Pathfinder book run or something.
Jason, what about you?
Well, I mean, are you finished?
No, I like Savage Worlds and
no, was there a certain module that you liked?
Or a campaign that you liked? Or a character that you liked? What do you?
Historically, I think my favorite character was probably the knight that I was playing in
Dragonlance.
Oh,
I think the favorite campaign I played in was... Was dark side.
Yeah, my favorite character in recent memory in a long time was Chinook, who was my druid in that game. I love that.
You wrote love poetry in that game.
I did. I love that character.
I still have that.
I love that character because he was so versatile and could do so much stuff. I mean, and of course in Pathfinder they nerfed the druids and they're not nearly as cool, but I love that character. And I don't think I ever abused him, but
The only spell that just killed me was the first time I threw a good sized dragon at you guys, and you pulled out that with the Earthbound spell.
Yeah, and but that's like, out of the Dragonlance book.
Yeah, I know. And so the dragon comes flying in, and Jeff goes, "Watch this!" Boom! Dragon's immediately hampered. He can't do anything but walk.
Yeah, it's either he falls out of the sky or he makes a save, and his speed is reduced greatly. Yeah, which is a pretty vicious spell. The
it killed a large. I mean, you guys were, what, third level at that time. So I think it was a large red dragon.
We were third level.
Yeah, what? Because it was right after the first...
like seventh level. We were like
No.
Seventh level. I was thinking we were like fifth level.
Yeah, we're like fifth, sixth, seventh. I mean,
probably casting third level spells, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, it was a huge dragon I threw at you guys.
We were more like sixth, seventh level, yeah.
We killed him in one round.
Yeah.
No, because you had just finished the first module of that adventure path. Not the module, but the first of the three parts of the adventure path. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was 1 through 5. I mean, it was supposed to take you from level 1 to 5, 6 to 10, 10 to 20 or something, right?
Yeah, but the thing is the last module, they really wanted it to be a lot more free-flowing, so it could end whenever.
Right,
yeah. And that's when you go... you know, you look around and you're like, we feel cool. That was pretty cool. And the thing I liked about that character was he could summon stuff.
Yeah.
He had defense. You know, he could swap out his spells for the summoning.
He had
all kinds of neat spells, and everybody loved. I mean, and more to the spell compendium was the snake swiftness.
That's the
mass
one.
Snake swiftness, where he would go boom, everybody in 30 feet goes gets an extra attack, and everybody loved the druid. Like, yay! And everybody gets to roll dice, and I'm like, yay! Everybody loves my character. So I love that character. He was neat. He was very versatile. He was a team player, and he was. I just love that character. So sorry, not about me.
No, it's good. But I think.
Tell me about your cleric that you liked in my game. Your water cleric.
I talk about him.
The water
cleric. My favorite story about that game, the one that sticks out in my head the most, is when we're traveling through the desert, obviously, and my water cleric. No, our group got attacked by a bunch of half giants.
Yeah,
I remember this.
I think they were Bohrogs. They're four-armed. Yeah, they're four-armed half giants.
Okay.
I remember this.
And they were decimating the party.
Uh-huh.
And when they came to attack me, one of them grappled me, and I said, "I'm a water cleric. I can make all the water you want." And they took me back to their little cave, uninjured.
This is the DM actually saying, "I don't want to kill this character right now."
And everybody else was outside the cave trying to figure out, you know, how they're going to mount this offensive, and they're going to come in and get me. And so I convinced the leader that I could cast a magical feast that would make them all tremendous fighters, and then they could just go outside and walk through the rest of the party. Because I'd spent a couple days in there healing them all up and making them water and whatever. And so instead of casting the hero's feast, I cast the chaos feast, which he made me eat from, but I made my save, and everybody else failed it. And the way the spell worked is, if you ate the feast, then you started arguing.
And they had crappy will saves, right?
And then you started fighting.
Right, right.
And once it was on, it was on. And I think I walked out of there. I walked out of the cave to the rest of the fellas. I was like, hey, guys, there's one more coming. Get ready. And the last guy walked out and come down.
Can I tell you what I like? And I don't know if it was before or after that. What I liked about that game was that time they attacked the party. And I think they wiped the party out. They killed the party. And so we did some sort of time manipulation where you all went back in time. I sent Chuck. Chuck's playing a game. Sent him back in time.
Right.
To when there were a bunch of halflings. And that's how you end up with the wings, because you all went back in time when they created this
thing.
And went back in time, helped out the halflings in this thing, in this water world that was Dark Sun before. Y'all came back. And then Chuck knew what was going to happen, and so y'all set up for these Bohrogs and changed the course of history. Because Chuck basically survived that fight with a magic item that allowed him. It was the sword. The Book of Swords is called Rabble Rouser, and it was basically based on that sword. It was a short sword, and the more people that fought you, the more powerful it became. And so it was basically meant to fight just crowds. And so Chuck basically took the sword and killed all these guys, but everybody was dead by the end of the fight. So he went back in time, found the stuff out, brought the party back with him, came back, and anyway, they were able to win. So yeah, it was a neat, that was an interesting, I had fun with that campaign. Mm-hmm. That was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah.
Todd, favorite?
What's your favorite, Todd?
Don't
tell me you're a halfling in Dark Sun that you get.
No, although I always like that character. As far as the characters that I played, I played a dwarven cleric in Roy's Dragonlance campaign, which I really, really enjoyed. There's been several that I've enjoyed, but I think of all the characters that I've played, the one that I enjoyed the most, and it wasn't even in this group, is the one that I played in Burning Empires.
At Gen Con.
I cannot tell you how well that character clicked for me.
Character you only knew for 4 hours.
For 4 hours. Loved it. And I could play that character to this day.
That was a great game. That was a great game. Well, I mean, it was funny because, and if you play Burning Empires, what's the name of the book? Red Skies? What's the name of that red book?
Blood Red Sands.
Blood Red Sands.
Yeah.
It's the
Bloodstained Stars.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Stars, sand, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's the book that's based upon this character that Todd played. And I think they based the book on Todd's portrayal.
Well, of course.
Right. But anyway, yeah, Todd sat down. That was the game we were talking about earlier, where you sat down and played. And at the end of the game, it was almost like everybody, I think we applauded. I mean, we all said, everybody was like, that was awesome. That was awesome. And it was such a good good game.
But no, I enjoyed that character. There were several others that I've played over the years, but I think that's the one that stands out the most, other than the one in Roy's. I tell you what, I do love. I love the one that I played in one of Doug's campaigns, which was a ogre that was raised by halflings, which was funny because, I mean, he was kind of like a baby Huey type thing. He was this massive, huge guy, but he had I jacked up his deck so high because he had, you know, spring attack and all this other
now,
stuff.
Now, wait a minute. You played Namdar, right, Doug? Mm-hmm. You played Namdar. When I don't remember you playing this guy.
Knuckle.
Knuckle.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was for early on in your long running current campaign.
Right.
Getting ready to get back to
started in 96, by the way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Knuckle was great.
The other day.
You're gonna run
the
it
one,
again?
Yeah, I think so.
The one that we've been running?
We're not done with it yet. Soulblade.
No, that did not start in 96.
Oh, yeah.
2006.
There's baggage with that game.
There's baggage with that game.
Actually, I made it all better. If you want to come back, it's all better.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Ask Roy how I fixed it.
I don't know if I can be hurt again.
It's been a while.
I don't know if I can do it again.
It's been a while.
It hurts so much. It hurts so bad.
You found his character in the torture chamber, and the guys had a bag of rings that made everybody into one of the party members. Do you remember that?
Oh, God.
Wow. That was a bag of rings.
But yeah, that's after the Star Wars game, though, right? After that concludes?
We got another couple games.
Star Wars games wraps up in probably a game or two.
Yeah.
So, within the month.
We'll send me an email.
Actually, I've been thinking about just putting that game on hold and seriously running D20 Modern. I have a great idea for a post-apocalyptic game.
Well, you ran the D20 Modern...
for a couple of weeks.
You did a pickup game where you played a bunch of soldiers and went and fought a bunch of giant
ants.
Cops. Yeah, I would do that again. Yeah, let's do some D20 Modern. I'd be happy to jump in or something like that. That'd be great. Yeah, see if I saw my book.
As far as modules, the one that I always loved was, I mean, going back years and years and years, is White Plume Mountain.
That's a nice one.
There's another one.
Classic.
That another...
I ran that in 3.5. They redid it for 3.5.
Yeah.
There's an offshoot one called Rollades that was out in the mid-80s. They had one called Lair of the Lich Lords.
I remember that.
Love that one. And I only played it once when I was in high school. And I remember it's just so hard to win. Because at the end, the big, big bad guy, Lich, actually has a crown that allows him to cast three spells at the same time. And that's one that I love. As far as the ones that I ran, the only one that sticks out in my head, other than the Burning Empires that we just played, is the one shot that we played at Thanksgiving that night. We were all at James's house.
In the basement.
Neil was up for one night, and we decided we'd play an all-nighter.
Literally.
Yeah. I mean, we got there after we all, you know, are tryptophan addicted from Turkey, and then...
What was the game?
It was a lot of puzzles and traps. That's the one where we played on the chessboard.
Right.
You remember the chessboard?
No.
Obviously, it made an indelible impression.
there was a room that was lava or something we had to get across. There was a chessboard.
I've never been a big fan of a bunch of traps and all that stuff, you know, because it doesn't matter what your character knows or who he is in D&D. It just doesn't make any difference. You know, it's all what the player knows. I mean, you can do those traps and puzzles and things, but as far as D&D matters, it doesn't. You know, most of the time, none of that comes into play.
Yeah, I remember the, it's...
I always found him, let's kill something. I got a D20 and I want to fight something. So.
For those listening, I mean, this was 95, 96 maybe, something like that. 97, yeah, 96 because it was before.
So before 35.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, well before. Oh,
well before. I think it was too early.
Yeah, and... It was. If I'm sure everybody and their brother seen the first Harry Potter, where they have the
living
combat,
chess.
Living chess, and it's basically Wizard, that same Wizard thing, Chief. But you had the party in as the main chess pieces with additional chess pieces because there wasn't that many people. And then on the other side, I remember like an Iron Golem, which was just incredibly hard to beat, was maybe the queen. And there was different monsters as you know, the pawns and each one. But you could...
I feel terrible. I don't remember
that. Well, yeah. And the whole thing was is that like if you were a knight, you could only attack... Even though you were all sitting there on the chessboard,
you could only attack as a knight.
You could only attack as a knight could attack, and then you could attack that person, and then you went to battle with each other. And that, I mean, this was years before Harry Potter came out.
Are you claiming that?
No, it has nothing to do with that. But what I'm saying is I didn't copy from Harry Potter. People were going, yeah, I bet he did. So,
Jason, what about you?
Yeah. When I was younger, I probably enjoyed most about role-playing is watching people die. Well, the funny thing was, is I remember one guy, anytime a lightning bolt was thrown, he was always hit by it and died.
Neil?
No, that was Eric. Lightning bolt.
Well, you weren't there for the game where he got eaten by the dragon.
Yeah, that was great.
That was awesome. Got eaten by
the dragon. I mean, I always like it because, you know, speaking of dying, I'm sitting there in one of Jeff's campaign, the guy that doesn't like traps. You got these bridges that move across these lava pits, and I'm playing a paladin, and everybody's let's go across this.
That was fun.
It was a good battle, and the paladins go, all right, I'll go across. Well, the barbarian goes, no, I'm going to stay back here.
The guy who played the barbarian's not here.
I know, that's what I said, but, you know, out of the whole thing, I enjoyed coming close to dying, or getting fallen, if it wasn't for a party member to save me, which was pretty funny, but I can remember that. And then in Deadlands... Same guy. He's not here. I would have had a pre-generated character to last the whole time, but no, he was shot.
Firing into combat. And then it was like, all right, there's a trap in this area, and everybody's like avoiding the trap, and then he runs right through the trap and sets it off again. Yeah, I know.
It was even marked on the board.
He can't defend himself, so let's not talk about it.
We love Eric.
That wasn't Eric.
Oh, that's right. That wasn't Eric.
It was Greg.
That was Greg. We love Greg.
Just when I was also younger, the best thing I always liked doing, we'd get into a really good game, we'd get into a good fight scene, and then there would be this interpretation rule. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of my brothers going and saying,
One of my brothers.
I'm not going to say which one because it always changed. The hell with this. Get up, run down the hall, slam their door, and the other one look at everybody, just kind of twiddle his thumb and goes, guess we're done.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Last week?
Oh. Hey, all I know is after a heated conversation, I always hear these stories about how you know everyone would keep yelling and screaming at your house, and your mom would say, okay, it's time for you boys to go home.
We've gotten much better. We just sit in stony cold silence.
Well, yeah, because now Roy's wife doesn't tell you to go home. That is the only difference.
That's because my wife sleeps through anything.
I know. Because if she came downstairs and said, hey, shut up, it's time for y'all to go home. It would be the exact same.
No, that's when my wife, we wake up in the morning, she goes, what happened last night? Well, we had an argument about the rules. She goes, call Roy and apologize. I call Roy about once a month ago. Hey, man. Sorry about last night.
I get home from a Wednesday night game, and I'm crawling into bed, and I got a book, and I'm reading. All of a sudden, the phone rings, and my wife is over going, who's calling you this late at night? I go, it's Jeff. He thinks he offended me. I'll go in the other room.
Hey, man. Sorry I yelled at you.
All right. Well,
Sorry, I'll put you in the face trying to demonstrate how my huge gorilla shape-change druid could attack these guys. I'm sorry I was hit you in the face.
The funny thing is we still rehash some of these arguments years later.
Of course you do.
And...
What are you talking about? We don't rehash arguments.
We don't yell at each other anymore about it, but you know, Doug still gets cheesed about his head getting Come on. We still talk about Neil coming
so
up from Atlanta.
He does that cheese, though. He's laughing about it, though. I mean,
you know, yeah, and we still
and
talk
funny,
about...
that's the same game.
The same game. Neil came up. Neil lives in Atlanta now, and every now and then he gets to come back and play with us.
He drives
came back
several hours to
several
get here.
Hours to get here, and he's playing with it. He makes one roll. It's a save. And then he gets banished with a bunch of the rest of us.
And like, go so, yeah, well,
we're all sitting in the front yard of Doug's house.
But you got ice cream.
We did get ice cream.
Yes. Hey, a few, you know, that was a long time ago. Now y'all would get to sit and watch what happened.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that
things
again.
Things are a little different now.
All right, fine. I did that. I've learned.
All right, well, let's
we
think.
Still hear about Oh Great Peck.
Oh Great Bird.
We still hear about, wasn't it Jason with
Jason's character had the helmet of
brilliance
that blew up.
Blew
yeah.
up, yeah. We still hear about that.
All right, that's all about
but
luck.
But it really wasn't his fault.
That was your fault, wasn't
think
it?
Think about this for a second. We've been playing with each other in a game sense for years now.
Yeah.
Okay? Some of us even longer than that.
Decades.
Yeah.
Decades.
Yeah.
Decades.
So,
and we still get together.
Well, I mean, yeah, I understand that.
I mean, Jason and I have been playing, I mean, he's my brother, but we've been playing since over 25 years.
Yeah. But think
and
about
I know Doug and I have been playing for over 20.
Think about this group of people, and you can include the Sunday night people because we've all gamed with them as well. Think about what is... I mean, and I'm not talking about a specific character like Jeff always plays the halfling cleric or anything like that. But
Or rogue.
Think about what is your role in the game.
Yeah.
So no matter what character I play, whether it's a magic user, and I played fighters for years, fighter or cleric for years, never touch a magic user. Mm-hmm. That was always Chuck's thing. Chuck, I'm checking down the hallway because he had nothing else to do.
Right.
Okay. But what I'm saying is, what is your role when you go in there? Because I know, at least my perception of it, Jeff's role is to argue with James.
That's not... Come on.
No, but understand something. I'm
that's not my
no,
role.
No, wait a second.
But
wait
this
a second.
Happens naturally.
No, what I'm telling you is that...
Because he's an idiot.
No, wait a second. There's a balance.
But we love
okay?
James.
There has
we do
to
love
be,
James.
There okay. has to be a balance. Because your role is to sit there and balance out James. Because if you're not there, there's just James. Right? Okay?
They can't
and if James is there, there's just Jeff.
Wait
so,
a minute.
Wait a second. No, it's just, what are you willing to accept? But when you're both there, they generally have, you know, it's... But what I'm saying is...
We haven't fought.
I'm not trying to argue
you
with you.
Yeah, sure, you're starting
no,
to fight.
No, I'm not. But what I'm trying to tell
you
is, what is your role? I mean, I have...
You.
Wait a second. I have a perception of what my role is, just because of the way that... You know, when I look at a game, when a D20 is, we're sitting there just da 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 da. I don't
want to
do this. Yeah, and I sit there and go, screw it, just pull it out. Let's go. You know, just go straight on in there and say,
well, look, this is what I can count on from Todd when I'm running a game. Uh-huh. Todd looks across the table at me and goes, I'm going to have sex with the apes.
Todd, you can count on Todd to do
Todd
whatever
defense,
it takes to make the story go
in
forward.
In Todd's defense, they were sentient.
Here's the trap. Everybody goes, oh, and we all sit there wringing our hands. What do we do with the trap? Oh, we got a trap. Oh, who's going to leave the trap? Todd goes, I go over and I spring the trap. Move on. I don't care if my character dies while they continue playing our role up a new one. I spring the trap. It's not worth it. You know, what is going
on? Let's go. Come on.
Move
come on.
The story along.
Okay, I think we've bored everyone with a lot of game stories tonight.
Have we?
I think we might have.
I know I'm...
Right, anybody have any...
Let's take it as an overarching type thing. What is the appeal to playing RPGs in general? I mean, why don't we have poker night like most dudes? What's the appeal to this genre of game that we all love?
Okay, Roy's got his hand up.
When I first got out of college, I was working at a paint factory. We played poker every night.
Not okay. Really what?
We played poker at lunch.
In the paint factory with the paints open.
We played poker at the lunch break, the first break, and the second break. I mean, we play, and then afterwards, while we were waiting to clock out, we were playing more poker. We play poker all the time. It's the same game all the time. The only thing that changes is how much money is sitting in front of you. Okay, I play the RPGs first and foremost to get me out of the stinking house
and to hang out with other people is how I got into it. Okay, I hung around because these were a bunch of fun guys. And I get to sit here and pretend I'm doing all kinds of weird stuff.
Oh, that's he doesn't need the paint.
And I don't need the paint anymore. You can do anything. I mean, guys sit around in front of the TV just watching sports. Guys play poker.
And there's nothing wrong with any of that.
Guys play bridge. Guys play video games. I mean, everyone's got their own thing.
It's all the same level of nerd. It's just different.
Different types of nerdisms. But, I mean, we all sit around and do this because we have fun doing it. We have fun as friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. You know, I think it's not so much that we get to pretend to be like Jason always plays the rogue or the shady character, or Doug pretends to always do the engineer type or the crafty one. You know, not only do we get to step into different genres of these archetypes of characters, but we get to sometimes be a storyteller. Or a
voice actor,
or a creative problem solver, or we get to just try different things that make these games unique.
Yeah,
which I totally dig.
Totally.
Going off what Joe just said, did anybody bother to read Order of the Stick today? Because no. I literally laughed out loud at the last cell.
Order. Oh, that's how I use knowledge architect. Yes, yeah, it was
great. And engineering.
Yeah. Engineering, yeah.
Yeah, that's how you use engineering to win a battle.
Yeah, I like to play because, I've got a theater background to some extent, and I don't get to do that anymore necessarily in a lot of aspects, but I do enjoy it. It scratches so many itches at once. You know, you get to think creatively. You get to do the strategic stuff in the combats. You get to what's my motivation as an actor?
Acting.
I'm acting. I want to. Here's my character. Oh, and I get to and as a GM, you know, I get to put on a story and tell a story and. And I get to watch people come together and cohese. Is that a word?
It is now.
It cohese in a way. And it's so fun to watch people come together and figure out and surprise me and do things. And like Roy said, I mean, it's just a great group to play with. And we have such a good time doing it.
I mean, hell, we're still telling all these stories.
Oh, yeah. Later. I mean, it's, you know, you make memories. I mean, it's all the same thing, you know. But, you know, a lot of these characters we run and play and stuff, it's all the... They are as close to us as anything that we've ever created. You know, you run these guys for days, months, years. I mean, Todd runs a guy for a night. And he remembers him.
Yeah.
You run a character for months and years, and you remember that specific event when this happened. You know, because it's not real, but it's as real as, you know, I don't know.
Any character in literature.
Somebody hitting the winning home run in a World Series. I mean, it is, mm-hmm. It's right there. It's up there. You remember it. And you remember the fun you have, and you know it's, and you're always trying to grasp that moment again, you know. And they happen all the time. They don't happen every game, but they happen a lot. Where you know, oh, that was amazing. You know what was it? We were playing. We played last Gen Con. We were playing the Savage Worlds game, and Todd went out and he had this guy, and he went up and he basically punched a dragon in the face, and kept acing his rolls, and basically killed a dragon in one shot. It was. Did we just lose the entire recording?
Uh-oh.
Fight of mental masturbation.
All right, so, anyway, so I just had a frightening experience with Audacity, but everything's good. Go ahead, Jeff.
Go back about 10 minutes ago. Do you remember when?
So anyway, it you know, you remember these events because they, at the moment, you know, they just burn themselves into your psyche.
As with all of these things, as with remembering the characters, as much as I enjoyed that 2000 Gen Con, I was playing Magic at the time, and I was playing Magic all the time.
2000 or
2007?
2007.
Yeah, that's when I saw you come around the corner. I can tell you that was a Friday.
Yep.
And I was about ready to go home. I really was. I was going to make one trip through the floor, and I was going to go home because I just had about 25 calls from work, and was about to say screw it, I'm going home. Came around the corner, and I stayed. And it's one of those days that I'll never forget in my life. But it's not about You know, as much as I enjoy the games, as much as I enjoy talking about it, it's about the people here. It's like I say, you know, y'all arguing, I can get that at home. That's easy. I can get arguments anytime. I can get that at work. That's why I enjoy it, because I like spending time with you guys, and I'd spend time with you anytime. So that's why, and that's something that a lot of people don't understand. They look at it as, you know, what are you guys doing? Are you sitting around? And it's that imperception that people made back in the, I guess, the 70s and 80s, when they thought that D&D was a bunch of
from the devil
worshiping hippies and all this other stuff. And it's not about that. It's about people getting together and socializing in the days before the internet and social media, when you actually looked at people across a table rather than looking at, you know, text across a screen and never seeing people face to face. And that's what it's about, is seeing people face to face. And whether that's rolling dice or holding hands and praying or shoving cards in front of each other, if you can interact with another human being in front of you and not kill each other, then you know what? Maybe we've got a better chance. So,
on that note, I think we'll go ahead and stop here. Anybody got anything? Final words?
Tune in next week when Roy drives his new car in. His wife says, goodbye for the week.
Here's a car. Go play.
Fine.
Last time I share with you people.
So the six of you that are still listening, if you have questions, please send them to the website, and we'll try to answer your questions in our next round table discussion.
Yeah, we did get the blog message from Taylor, and I tried to answer him as best I could on the blog.
What was that message?
That was one about the fight rules, where it turns out that we could have ganged up. It could have been a 2-on-1 situation.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
And you should have made more steel tests.
And we should have made more steel tests.
Really?
You and him, because I never had hurt. Right. That podcast will be dropped.
Todd probably would have been the first round, though. The first volley.
He might have.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. When, as soon as you get an injury,
damage, you should have made a steel test. You would have been out.
All right. Well, next time
for steel, I can do that.
Next time we'll be back to Bill's game. Hopefully, Flames of Gold, Part 8.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Still there? Drop us a line. You can contact us at 502-4141-RU, which is 502-4141-766. Send us an email to roy@rusackgamers.com. Or stop by our forum at rpgcrosstalk.com. Now, you've been listening to a podcast by the Rusack Gamers. This production is wholly owned by its creators and is distributed under the Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License.